Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us at Sandals Church. Look, we're all about being real with ourselves, God, and others, and sandalschurch.tv is here to help you do that. No matter where you are in life or what your story is, sandalschurch.tv is for you. So we are so happy you're here. And hey, it's a really good thing you're here because we're headed into something called the Momentum Project. Because guess what? Momentum doesn't happen without moments. And we are not just building momentum to build places to be real. We're building momentum so that we can build relationships, futures, and real hope. So right now, if you want to participate and help us do that, go to move.sc/momentum online.
Faith is something that is essential to your relationship with God. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God. You cannot make God happy in your relationship with Him.
To not believe in Jesus in our age takes way more faith than it does to believe. Listen, your faith, it's a field that's worth defending.
The Bible says, in His loving kindness, He saved us. It's our faith built upon this truth that inspires us to cultivate kindness to others.
Regardless of what the world says about what's right or wrong or what we should think or feel, our faith is this internal compass that guides us. And the reality is that without faith, we cannot call ourselves Christians. Welcome, welcome. Super excited you guys are here, and I want you to do me a favor. Regardless of what campus you are today, whether you're here watching online, let's give it up for the first service of Sandals Church Lake Arrowhead. We love you guys. Woo-hoo! Can you believe that? It's incredible, man. God is moving on the mountain, right? God loves mountains, man, and mountain people. We love you guys. It's a lot cooler up there than it is down here, so maybe He loves you more. So I want to welcome Sandals Church Lake Arrowhead. We're super excited to have you guys be a part of the family. And let me tell you something. For the next 40 days, we're going to go on a journey together. I wish that you could have been with me on the journey for the last 20 years. I wish you could have been there with me in seminary. When everybody felt called of God to plant a church in Malibu, in San Diego, and the Spirit was moving for yet another church in Orange County, and God began to impress upon a young man's heart, why is nobody called to the Inland Empire? It's always amazing how God calls us to places everybody already wants to go, amen? I feel like it's Hawaii, I do. I feel like that's where the Lord is leading. Of course you do. But God did an amazing thing. Man, I wish you guys could all back. I don't know what you were doing 20 years ago. Some of you weren't even alive. But man, if you could have been on the ride that's been Sandals Church, I'm telling you, whatever you were doing in 1997, you would stop. And you would come be a part of something great. I can't take you back 20 years ago, but I can invite you to go with me for the next 40 days. I believe God is going to do something great in our church in the next 40 days. I've been praying and planning this series all summer long. When Pastor Claude and Pastor Tim were leading us, that's what I was doing, planning and prepping and praying and saying, God, what's next? God, what do you have for us? And God made it very, very clear. God has grown us numerically, but He has to grow us in our faith. Our faith has to catch up to our size, right? It does, man. God has blessed us beyond our faith, and we need to step out in faith again. Some of you who are here don't even know what faith is, and that's okay. You're in the right place. Sandals Church is a great place to begin your faith journey. It's a great, great place. And so I just want to begin by praying over all of us. If you would just lift your hands like this, if you want to receive this prayer of blessing, you know, I'm not going to do any kind of spell. This isn't, you know, Harry Potter, no voodoo. I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing over you that God would grow your spirit over the next 40 days and make Himself so incredibly real to you that He would bless you, that He would work wonders in your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray over every hand raised that in the powerful name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus who rose from the dead, God, I call upon that power to touch us, to bless us, and to increase our faith. Lord, I pray in 40 days, none of us would be someone with little faith, but all of us would be someone with growing faith. God, speak to us in the next 40 days. Move us in the next 40 days. Bring us together in our faith as married couples. Bring us to faith, Lord, with the people at our work. Bring us together in faith with our children, Lord. Bring us together and grow us up to be mature adults in the faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I love this story. I know I say that every week. I mean, if I don't love it, I'm not preaching on it, right? So I love this story, and it's profound, and some of you have missed how profound this story is. There's just something about Romans that very few of us understand. Modern culture is fascinated with their art. I think pagans are fascinated with their sexuality. As Christians, we should be fascinated with their faith. Romans conquered the world because of their faith and their cause in each other. That's how the Romans did it. Have you ever met an Italian that's super big? It's not racist, no, right? Most Italians are my height, they're short. I'm half Italian, that's just the reality. Not a super large people, but man, they conquered the known world because they had faith in their cause and faith in each other. And the Roman legions were feared all over the earth. And this is a story of a Roman legionnaire, of an officer in the Roman army who has an encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus returned to Capernaum. This is where 80% of all the miracles of Jesus Christ took place, in this little tiny town called Capernaum in Hebrew, which means the place of healing. That's where Jesus went to heal. A Roman officer came and pleaded with him. And just know, this is upside down. The Romans ruled the Jews. They were in charge. They were powerful. Rome was the conqueror and Israel is the victim. Romans don't beg Jews for anything. Here we have an incredibly powerful man. And just so you know, Rome dispatched its mightiest legions in Israel. Israel was a troubled spot. Israel was a difficult spot to govern. It was problematic. And ultimately, Rome would decide to completely wipe it off the face of the earth. They sent their best, their brightest, their most powerful leaders. And so here we have a Roman officer that comes and pleads with him. Now, many of you can't get the context, and so I'm going to give you an assignment this week. I want you to go home and watch the greatest movie of this century. No other movie comes close, and if you want to argue with me, it's okay for you to be wrong. I give you permission for you to be wrong. It's okay. The greatest movie of this century, hands down, is Gladiator. There's no one that comes close. Gladiator, you know, I wanted to be Maximus. I saw that. I'm going to be Maximus, and I'm going to kill you in the name of Jesus, which unfortunately that's not a Bible verse, but you know, I want to be Maximus. Maximus is a leader, and when he speaks, his men follow. Without question, they follow him. Maximus is such a great leader, he's dangerous to Rome because they're afraid that they'll follow their great general. Maximus bleeds with the troops. Maximus is willing to die for his troops. Maximus is willing to die for Rome. So in this story, I want you to see a guy who's like Maximus. He's loyal to Rome. He's loyal to his men. He's even loyal to his servant, as you're going to find in this story. This is a good guy. He's fighting on the wrong side, but he's a good guy. And we need to remember, that's why Jesus says, love your enemies. Because not everyone on the other side is your enemy. They're just on a different political end than you are. A Roman officer came and pleaded with him. He said, Lord. And just write in your notes, there's only one person you call Lord if you're a Roman officer, and his name is Caesar. He says, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. So here's a young servant. We don't know who he is, but here we have a great leader who is willing to go someplace for someone that serves him. He's got many servants. He can get another one, but he's a good guy and he cares. He's paralyzed and he's in terrible pain. We don't know everything that's wrong, but it's not good. Something's happened. Maybe he fell off a horse. Maybe he's been kicked by a horse. Maybe he was working and something fell on him. We don't know, but he can't move and he's in agony. Agony. Could be a spinal cord injury. We don't know. He says he's lying and he's in terrible, terrible pain. And Jesus said, underline this. He says, I'll come and heal him. I'll come. Can you imagine if Jesus, you know, you're like at Ralph's grocery store shopping and you're like, oh, my wife's really sick. Jesus is like, no problem. Let me get my macaroni and cheese and I'll meet you at the front and we'll go. Can you imagine Jesus is coming over to your house today? Anybody need to clean up before he comes? Yeah. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. But the officer said, underline, this is incredible. The officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. I'm not worthy. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. What? Here's a pagan, someone who doesn't know God. He doesn't have the Old Testament. He's a Roman. He knows none of the prophecies about the coming king. He simply believes in Jesus. He says, just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. He says, I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers and I have the authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they what? They go. Or I say come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, guess what they say? I'll pray about it. No, that's what Christians do. I'll think about that. I'll pray about that. He says, my slaves, if I say do this, they do it. Underline these words and never forget it. When Jesus heard this, he was what? Amazed. Let me ask you this. Will you ever do anything in your life that amazes God? Can you imagine if God is watching your life? Like, we watch football, soap operas, reality TV. God watches us. Hey, Dad! Dad, come here! Check out Matt Brown.
Amazing.
Well, you're laughing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if all heaven stopped just to watch what you're doing? Man, think about if heaven watches us the way we watch a car chase. Can you imagine? I'm glued to TV. What's going to happen? He's going to drive until he crashes. Everybody get in here. It's like you've never seen a car chase. What are you, a German Shepherd? Come on, change the channel. What if something in your life was so incredible to God, all of heaven stopped and said, you can't believe this. Jesus was amazed. Amazed. Here's the sad part. Then he turned to us. I know it doesn't say that in there. Write it in there. No, it's then he turned to Sandals Church. How do I know it's us? And then he turned to those who were following him. You see, a lot of us call ourselves followers, but we have never amazed God with our faith. Never. He turns to his followers and he says, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. Let me translate. I've been to churches everywhere in America, and I can't believe a member of ISIS has this kind of faith. The Romans were hated. The Romans were seen as wicked, and they were. The Romans were seen as awful, and they were. But Jesus says to the people of God at the time, he says, man, I've been traveling. I've been walking. I've been teaching in the synagogues. I've been gathering the church, and I haven't found one person in the church or in the synagogue that believes like this guy. He says, I haven't seen faith like this. He says, and I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from the east and the west, and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And if you don't know who those are the founders of the Jewish religion. You can't get any more Jewish than Abraham, any more Jewish than Isaac, any more Jewish than Jacob. He says, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be non-Jews who in the end times sit with God. They sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast of the kingdom of heaven. He says, but there are going to be many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared. They will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home. Underline these words, because you believed. It happened. And his young servant was healed that same hour. Jesus doesn't have to be present to perform a miracle. Did you hear? He doesn't have to be here physically to change your life. You see, here's the problem. Some of you think you need to see God for God to change your life. You don't need to see God. You just need to believe in him. And when you do, God will do great things. When you demonstrate amazing faith, God does amazing things. The problem is, we want to see amazing things without demonstrating amazing faith. And Jesus says, I've never seen faith like this. He says, I'm telling you, there's going to be some disappointed Jews who think they're going to lie with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. But they're going to miss out. They're going to miss out. But this guy is going to be at the party at the end. And a lot of people who think they're going to the party are going to miss the party. And a lot of people who didn't feel like they were invited, they're going to celebrate with God forever. What does this mean? Write this down. Real faith is rare. It's rare. It's so rare. Do you know when I started Sandals Church, every person that told me not to do it was a Christian. Every single one. Why would you do that? Why would you plant a church? Why would you follow the Great Commission? Why would you do what Jesus said? Why would you do that? Dude, non-Christians are like, that's cool, man. It's cool. Do it. Right. Go for it. Yeah. And Christians are like, no. Why would you do that? I had one Christian leader tell me this. Inland Empire doesn't need any more churches. I said, are you kidding me? He was like, no. Isn't it amazing how discouraging a Christian can be to your faith? What's even sadder is how non-believers oftentimes have more faith than Christians. That's why I believe your friends who don't know God won't come to church, because they know what needs to change. They're not unaware. They're aware. That's why they don't come. I don't want to be convicted. I don't want to change. They know they have to be more obedient than you're willing to be, and that's why they won't come. Real faith is rare. It's rare. And Jesus is on a boat in Sea of Galilee, and there's a storm that arises. He's sleeping. The disciples are panicking. Jesus is resting, and the disciples think they're going to die. And they wake Jesus up by shouting, don't you care that we're going to die? He says, oh, you have little faith. And then there's another encounter where the same thing happens and there's a storm. And Peter says, if it's you, call me. And Jesus calls him and he comes out and he keeps his eye on Jesus. And then he looks at the storm and takes his eyes off Jesus and he begins to sink. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. And he says this to the founder of the church. You have so little what? Faith. You have so little faith. Jesus said, why did you doubt me? Real faith is rare. That's why we need to focus for the next 40 days on building our faith. Corinthians 13:5 says this, examine yourself. We like to examine everybody else. I don't know if she's a Christian. I'll be shocked if she's there on heaven on the day. I mean, if she's there, she's going to be smoking. We're all saved by grace, right? It doesn't say examine your neighbor, examine your friend. It doesn't say examine the people on Facebook or on Instagram. It says examine yourself. Do you know on the day of judgment, you're not going to be held accountable for me? And you should thank God for that. You're going to be held accountable for yourself. What did you do? Was your faith real? Paul says, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Not everyone who calls themselves a Christian is. Well, I have a tattoo. There's going to be a lot of Christian tattoos in hell. You see, you got inked up, but you didn't link up. I didn't mean that to rhyme that much, but it did. You didn't connect with God. Having a tattoo doesn't make you a believer. Having a Christian t-shirt doesn't make you a believer. Singles, being on, Christian Mingle doesn't make you a believer. Right? You know, it just means you want to mingle. That's funnier than that. Come on now. Real faith is rare. Here's why. Real faith is the belief in things that can't be seen. That's why it's so hard. Why do we mock people who don't have faith? We should be praising God that we do. Why do we put down atheists? You're so stupid because you don't believe in something you can't see. Do you realize how ridiculous that sounds? Right? At least atheists are honest. I need to see it to believe it. Well, you will one day, but it's going to be too late. Real faith is the belief in things that can't be seen. Right? They can't be seen. I'm going to show you how hard it is to have faith right now. I'm going to ask you not to have faith in God, but I'm going to challenge you to have faith in me. Can you do that? Just for a moment. I'm not talking like I'm going to become a cult leader and we're buying a boat and going to the Caribbean. That's not what I'm saying. I just want you to believe me, to try to believe me just for the next couple of minutes. And I'm going to show you how hard it is to have faith. You see, we just finished a series called Baggage. And one of the things that we talked about is all the things that we carry that weigh us down. But I'm going to talk about for just the next couple of minutes, a bag that you need to carry everywhere you go. And it's called faith. And here's the problem with your bag of faith. It's empty. Now I'm going to tell you what I have in this bag. And you're not going to believe me, but I'm telling you the truth. I have a python in this bag. I do. Raise your hand if you believe me. Look around. How many unbelievers there are? Look at you. I'm your pastor. If you don't believe me, why do you go to church here? There's a python in this bag. I am telling you, it's real. Now raise your hands if you believe me. I didn't do much better. I am telling you, there is a python in this bag. I saw it placed in the bag. I didn't touch it because I don't like snakes. How many of you believe me? I'm not even at 50%, and you're believers. You're believers. Okay. If I show you the snake, how many of you will believe me? Raise your hands. It's not even 100%. If I show you the snake, no. Okay, how many want to see the snake? Raise your hands. Okay, I'm not going to show you. Because if I show you, it's not faith. I'm asking you to believe me. I'm your pastor. I'm not supposed to lie. I'm telling you, there's a python in this bag. How many believe me? Raise your hands. Okay, I'm doing better. How many want to see the snake? Raise your hands. Yeah, see? Unbelievers. Okay, I'm going to invite Justin Pardee out here. Hurry up, Justin. Let me tell you why I'm inviting Justin Pardee up here. He hates snakes. He didn't know we were going to do this, but we're going to do this. Come on up here. We got a bunch of unbelievers here, and I need you to lead them to the cross. Okay? All right. Do you believe me that there's a snake in this bag?
I think so.
Okay. Okay, hold my microphone.
I don't know. Put your arm in. Oh, you're bigger than me. Okay, stand right here.
Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to reach around gently. I want you to reach around gently, and I want you to touch the snake.
There. It's at the very least like a banana that's angry.
Okay, how many believe there's a snake in the bag? You better raise your hand. It's touching you. Do you believe?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't want to see it.
You're the worst believer I've ever met. Okay, now who wants to see the snakes? Raise your hands.
No.
I can't show you because if I show you the snake, then you're not believing, you're seeing. Now, here's the thing is, go ahead and go back. Take the snake away. Don't hurt the snake. Go. Oh, I forgot to tell you, there's not actually one snake. It's actually two pythons in there. So go ahead. That's the truth. There's two in there. Anybody want to see the snake? Want to see the snake at the end of service? Raise your hands. I'm not going to show you because we're talking about faith. Now, let me tell you how difficult it is. I did this like maybe 10 years ago. I did this whole thing. I did this whole episode. We got home, Tammy and I are having lunch. She says, was there really a snake in that bag? I'm like, I'm your husband. I'm your pastor. She's like, yeah, no, but I want to know, was there really a snake? None of my kids believed. None of them believed. Why? It's hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to trust. And you know why that is? Because we've all been lied to. We've all been hurt. We've all been wounded. That's why Jesus said, you trust in God. He says, now trust in me. I'm telling you, there were two pythons in that bag. One is green and one's an albino. I know that because I saw them placed in here. Now, let me tell you why the exercise is so important. Many of you, or I would say probably all of you, have never seen God. But how many of you have felt him? Raise your hands. Do you know what he did? He felt it. He felt it. Now, I was hoping they would move around a little more in there when he started squeezing. It was not a banana. They were big pythons, I'm telling you. I don't know why, where he gets bananas. But one is 4 feet and the other one's 5 feet. I'm not kidding you. Some big boys in that bag. I mean, I don't know if they're boys. I don't know snake gender. Okay, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. See, the reality is there's very little difference between many of you and an atheist. The atheist does not believe because they haven't seen. You call yourselves a Christian. I'm your pastor. I'm your religious leader. And I wasn't lying. I'm not lying. There is two snakes in that bag. Now, who wants to see it? Raise your hands. I'm not going to show you. Because this is an exercise in faith. Do you see how hard it is? Listen to me, parents. Do you know why your kids struggle believing in God? Because they haven't seen him. But you can help them feel him. You can. You can. I don't know about you, but I felt God before I came out here during worship. I felt him. I was in tears in the back, watching a screen of you worshiping. I felt God. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Can you believe just for a minute? I don't know how I'm going to get through this with my kids. Can you just have faith for a minute? I don't see how this is going to work out. Can you just have faith for a minute? I don't know how we're going to pay our bills. Can you just have faith for a minute? Can you just believe for a second? Why is it that a Gentile Maximus can, but we can't, and we call ourselves believers? It's the word we use to describe ourselves, and yet we struggle. We struggle. Let me tell you what I believe faith is. Faith is not having all the answers. It's having the only answer that matters. I want you to just rest in that this week. If you can come to that point in life, you will have freedom that no one else does. Faith is not having all the answers. It's having the only answer that matters. The Gentile doesn't ask, how are you going to do it? The Gentile doesn't ask, I'm going to watch you do it. The Gentile doesn't ask for him to come over to do it. He says, you merely say it, and I know you can do it. Because I'm a man under authority, and Jesus, I happen to believe that you're under the authority of God. And when you speak, it will be done. I don't need to see it. Do you understand that a Gentile left Jesus without seeing the proof of the miracle? Why is it that non-Christians believe quicker than Christians? You know what I noticed? When I'm in the hospital visiting you guys sometimes, I'm not making this up. I will be stopped. Not by Christians, by non-believers. who've seen me online, or somehow they've got, and they will ask me right in the lobby. This is what Christians do. Hey, pastor, can we go pray in a quiet place? Man, if you're not a Christian pastor, let's pray right here in the lobby. They don't care. They don't care. Someone they love is dying. Someone that they care about is hurting. Someone's been maimed. Life is on the line. Let's pray right here, right now. Shout it out. I don't care. Tammy and I went to a hospital to visit a church member. We got stopped in the lobby. Stopped in the lobby, 8 black people. Do you know what happens when you pray with 8 black people? Yeah, not what happens with you guys. When you pray with 8 white people, like, oh, just keep it down, keep it down, keep it down, keep it down. Black people are like, lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. I looked over the security guard at Loma Linda. He's black too. He just give me a. I was like, that's right. That's right. See, if he's a white guy, he'd been all nervous. What's happening, right? But man, isn't that amazing? I said, do you guys go to Sandals? Nope. None of them. 0 for 8. 8 people. None of them go to Sandals Church. One came one time on Easter, recognized me. But she said, I need prayer right now. And we believe that God is doing things at Sandals. And I said, I believe you need to be back at Sandals. Who? I said, can I get an amen now? real faith, you guys, not fake faith. Not I want my kids to be good people and I want my husband not to cheat faith. Real faith, real faith is the belief in things that can't be seen. Next, real faith is the only way to connect with God. Do you know why God doesn't just go, boo? Because then everybody believes and it doesn't work that way. Here's why I believe God remains hidden. I believe it's like when guys see a beautiful girl that's way out of their league, they can't help themselves.
I like you.
Right? Her beauty completely unplugs their brain.
Oh, you're the one. You're the one.
You're married.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? God is so beautiful, so powerful, so amazing. Here's what Isaiah says when he saw God, that the holiest angels who stand in front of God, do you know what they do? They cover their eyes. He's so majestic, he cannot be looked at even by the holiest and most pure angels. That's who God is. And if God reveals himself, do you know what he violates? Your choice, your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I wonder if God was watching us right now. Hey, Jesus, let's see if any sandals will believe there's a snake in the bag. And the Holy Spirit's like, they've gone off the rails. Snake handling church. And Jesus is like, man, 8 people out of 10,000. I'm telling you, there were 2 snakes in that bag. Creeped me out. I don't like snakes, but they were in there. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. God is a great lover who woos you, but he will not allow his beauty to overcome you because he wants you to choose him. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for it is by grace that you have been saved. Underline these words, through what? Through faith. How sad is that? How sad is that, that it was that hard for you to believe the man that you come to whose job is to grow your faith? I'm not lying. I'm not lying. We hired a company that brought the snakes. They're back there going, what kind of church is this? I said, we like to party. It is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift from God. Do you know that faith is a gift? If you believe, praise God. Praise God. It's a gift. It's not by works so that no one can boast. We're saved by faith. Faith is the only way to connect with God. You cannot connect with God any other way. You have to believe. And we just saw how hard it is to believe. That's why it's so hard for us to connect with God. But here's the good news. Real faith is powerful. Jesus says, because you believed, your servant is healed. Can you imagine if you had that kind of faith? If you had that kind of faith, Jesus goes, wow, check this guy out, man. He is a screwed up dude. Maximus just showed up. Think of all the guys he's killed. Think of all the things he's done. But man, he believes. He gets it. He gets it. And he says, look all you Christians, look over here at this person. He believes. He gets it. That's what we need. Real faith is powerful. You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. He was speaking to Sandals Church, apparently. He says, I tell you the truth. If you had faith, this is what's so shocking. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Underline these words, nothing would be impossible. Why? What does the Roman soldier understand? What does he get that we're missing? It's not about you. It's not about me. The Roman soldier has lived his whole life under the authority and power of Caesar. And when he speaks, he is backed up by the Roman army and Julius Caesar. And if you mess with him, you mess with Caesar. And to mess with Caesar is to die. And that's why. He looks at Jesus and he goes, you're from God. You're from God. And the reason I can believe in you, the reason I can trust in you, the reason I have faith and I don't doubt is because I know where your power comes from. It comes from the Almighty God. And if he speaks it, it is. It is. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God spoke. God spoke. Right? Some of you smart people, they call it the Big Bang. Yeah, God spoke, bang, and it happened. That's what happened. He said, if you just have faith as small as a mustard seed, you know what that says for us? How many of our faith is smaller than a mustard seed? And it's like this big. Like 90% of your hands should be up because you didn't believe in the snakes. He says, move from here, and it would. Nothing would be impossible. Why is this important? Because over the next 40 days, we're going to try to move a mountain. And for us to move a mountain, I need you to grow up and have faith. I need to grow up and have faith. 40 days of faith is meant to challenge and grow my faith. I want you to be stretched. I want you to be pressed. I want you to be pushed, and I want your faith to grow. We got to move a mountain. Colossians 2:7 says this, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Here's my prayer for you for the next 40 days. Your faith grows down into him. Here's why I need you to trust me, because I represent him. I'm a preacher of his gospel. I'm a proclaimer of his truth. We come to church so that our roots go down into him, so our lives can be built on him. Then our faith will grow strong in the truth that we were taught. And when a pastor, someone that we love and someone that we trust, says something's in the bag, it is. Do you know that it was in there? The whole time. Here's what the Bible says. It is impossible for God to lie. Every word he speaks is the truth. He cannot lie because he is the truth. He is the way and he is the life. Man, for the next 40 days, I want to challenge you to do three things. And don't sign it. Don't fill it out if you don't mean it. But for the next 40 days, I'm committing to grow personally in my faith. I'm going to trust God for 40 days. For 40 days, I'm going to go on a journey with my church, a journey through Scripture where God speaks. Next week, we're going to be talking about a young boy who stepped out in faith when a giant challenged the nation of Israel for 40 days. Are you ready to commit your life? Are you ready to change your life? Next, I'm committing to pray for the faith of my church. Look around. How many people couldn't even believe when what's in the bag? It's already in the bag. Man, do we need to pray for each other's faith? Yes, desperately. Next, this is huge. I'm committing to pray about helping raise an extra $10 million for the Momentum Project over the next 24 months. I've been invited to Outreach Magazine's church conference this October 2nd. I don't know this, but we might be the fastest growing church in the United States of America. Can you believe that? I don't know that. But they've invited me. Now here's the thing. You know what growing churches need? Space. Space. From this campus right here, we've launched 8 other campuses. Some of you are sitting them right now. By faith, there's a Sandals Church San Bernardino. By faith, there's a Sandals Church Banning. By faith, there's a Sandals Church Montclair pop-up. By faith, there's a Sandals Church Lake Arrowhead. There's a Sandals Church Each Valley. By faith, there's a Sandals Church Hunter Park. And through this, by faith, Sandals Church Woodcrest is gonna have a building. By faith, by faith. Here's where I want you to pray for me. What I do in my sin is I put it on my shoulders, and that crushes me. As your pastor, would you pray for my faith for the next 40 days? For the next 40 days, would you pray for my stress? Would you pray for the stress in Tammy and I's marriage and relationship? Help us to have the faith to trust God as we trust him. And we build a great church for God by faith. I'm gonna tell you each week where the money's specifically gonna go, but know this, is the greatest test Sandals Church has ever faced. It's double the amount we've ever raised before. But I believe we can do this if we can just trust God. Let me pray over you that God would increase your faith. Would you just raise your hands? Heavenly Father, I pray over every hand that's raised. Lord, help us to believe. Help us to trust. Lord, help me to trust. You know it's in the bag. You know it is. But Lord, just like my audience, I can't see what's in the bag. Only you can. Help us all to trust. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.